So what I want to speak about today is actually related to that. It's one of our heartbeats, or one of our values as a church. And one of our values as a church is to live free. Now, I don't know if you understand or not, but the world's definition of freedom is very different to the Christian definition of freedom. You know, you've got two types of freedom. There's the Rolling Stones version. You know, I'm free to do what I want any old time. I'm free to do what I want any old time. So love me, hold me. You know, I'm free to any old time to get what I want. I'm free to choose what I please any old time. There's that whole idea of, woohoo, schoolies, we can do whatever we want. It's that whole idea of being able to do what you want, when you want to do it, say whatever you think. Now, I don't know about you, but if I actually did everything that I wanted to do, if I actually said everything that I wanted to say, now, you know, I'm a teacher Monday to Friday. If I said to a child what I sometimes thought about a child, it's probably not going to be uplifting and encouraging. Let's just put it that way. I'm just having a bad moment. Do you know what I mean? As parents, we got the same deal. If we said everything, that the first thing that came to our head or came to our heart when our little darling is being a little darling. So there's this whole idea of freedom, which is basically, woohoo, no rules, no boundaries, no nothing. And then at the same time, there's almost the Braveheart type of freedom. You know, your heart is free. No, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Scottish. There we go. Your heart is free. Have the courage to follow it. Yeah. See, that's good advice depending on what your heart is full of.
That's right.
Okay, or, you know, the classic Braveheart thing. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our
freedom.
Yeah, well done. Thanks, Jan. Cheers. Bit of audience participation. Never hurt anyone. See, freedom's important. It's so important that on the one hand, people are willing to fight and die for it. And have done, like there's been wars fought over the whole idea of freedom. At the same time, for this generation, it seems a marker of this generation that is almost this, we have this inarguable right to be able to do what we want when we want. Like our generation is sometimes seen as the generation where we're like the two-year-old tantrum foot stompers all the time. You can't tell me what to do. Can't tell me what to do. But the thing is that God's definition of freedom is different to ours. So here's the questions for today. Are you free? Second question. If you are free, what type of freedom do you have? What does freedom look like to you? And if you are free, then how are you using your freedom? Or, if you wanted to put it in a slightly different way, what are you using the freedom God has given for you? So if I wanted to look for a definition of, like, it's hard to talk about free without talking about freedom, because freedom is the noun, whereas, you know, being free is a state. So the definition of freedom, there's three definitions that I could find, so three meanings. And it's really interesting when we break it down. So the first definition is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Okay, which is a good idea in theory, but like we said, that's the world's definition. The second one is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. It's a really interesting paradox, because the first definition, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants, will actually quite often lead you to being imprisoned or enslaved. And then the third definition is the state of not being subject or affected by something undesirable. Okay, so not being a slave to anything, not being subjected to or affected by something undesirable. See, being subject to a life in Christ is desirable, so it doesn't go against the definition of freedom. It's a weird paradox though, because quite often in the Bible it talks about, like particularly some of the disciples talk about being Christ's slave or a slave in Christ. So the whole idea of freedom, it's got the same root word as friend, which means to love or to show love. So that's really interesting, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So it's safe to say that the world's definition of freedom is not the same as God's. The world seems to put all its stock in the first definition: I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, if it feels good, I can do it. But I'll quite often do that at the expense of the other two. See, God's definition of freedom is not the first definition. It's not, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. God's definition of freedom is, here's some boundaries for you to live within. You can go wherever you like within these boundaries, and you'll be up, and you won't hurt yourself, and you won't hurt other people. There's a safety and a security that comes with God's freedom. There's a way of life that we can live that means that we can be truly free. So, for example, the schoolies. So I don't know if you know or not, this is how a schoolies day, so at the end of the year for a week, 30,000 schoolies on the Gold Coast, all between 16 and a half and 18 years of age, all basically going, when they come, they'll say things like, schoolies, all rules are off, all bets are off. So relationships will go on hold for a week. If they're Christian kids, their Christianity goes on hold for a week. It's quite often, one of the conversations I quite often have with particularly kids that come from Christian schools. I mean, we thought that this would be awesome, but actually I just feel bad all the time because I want to be a red frog next year, but now I'm living my life away. That means that I'm kind of a hypocrite. So they sleep with whoever they want, they drink whatever they want, they take whatever they want, and as a result of that, they end up in prison, they end up living in the consequences of the choices that they've made when they're free.
Yeah.
See, they adhere to one type of freedom and it ends up trapping them. That's why my heart's so passionate for youth and young people, is because, you know, young people will come to that point where it's like, you can't tell me what to do, generally between the age of 2 and about 36. Yeah. All right?
Wait, enough to speak.
Well, yeah. Well,
some of us are there.
Yeah, we're still there, yeah. But the thing is there's an entire generation being lost to slavery and they think that they're free. They're free to choose, but they're not free from the consequence of that choice. The do what feels good thing will end up getting you in trouble every single time. They're being told a lie, do whatever you want, but you'll be imprisoned by it. Live a life without boundaries, but when you live a life without boundaries, you end up going over cliffs. So what does God say about freedom then? See, freedom is a reoccurring theme in the Bible. Being able to live free is actually, it could be considered like the overarching theme.
Arching.
It's the theme of the Bible. The Bible was one huge rescue mission. It's one of the things that we teach at Sunday school all the way up. The Bible was one big rescue mission. You are the Israelites and you are my people. Whoops. God, help me. Okay, I'll give you a hand. Oh, thank you, God. We're going to praise and worship you. Oops, we've fallen into slavery again. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm going to send someone and help you. Oops. Oh, no, we've done it again. I'm really sorry. It's almost like we're going around the same cycle over and over again. All right, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do once for all time so that you can be truly free.
Yeah.
So it becomes, if it's an overall theme of the Bible, if the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the really quite important part in the middle, is all about freedom and giving freedom to people who are enslaved, it becomes really important what's meant by it. God redeeming and reconnecting a people to himself, taking them out of their slavery and their stuff, and giving them a different destination and way to live. So we can look at the Old Testament and look at the Old Testament in terms of 600 rules. Well, what's God trying to do there? He's trying to give boundaries as to a way to live. See, most religions would just basically go, just do whatever. Guess. It's quite unusual for a God to actually come down and go, hey, look, we tried 600. Let's go with 10. No, you can't deal with that 10. All right, I'll send my son. All you got to do, love others, love yourself. Love me. Sorry, I did that the wrong way around. All right, so let's have a look at it. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we can become free. We can follow Christ out of slavery. But I don't know about you, but I've had to recommit my life to Jesus more than once. Basically because, generally as a rule, it's because, actually, I've got this. I know exactly what I'm going to do in this situation. Oh, God, I'm really sorry. Just one more time, thanks. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Yeah, that's right.
If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, well, that's quite good. So he's the truth, and he's the one who sets us free.
Yeah, that's good.
Romans 8:2. I've got that in the wrong. Oh, no, that's all right. What did I just say? John 8:36.
Romans
8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives you life has set you free from the law of sin or death. So there's two types of law that we could follow. We can either follow Jesus, who's the law of the Spirit of life, who gives us life. And as a result of following that, we don't have to worry about sin and death anymore. We don't have to worry about all those other laws. Okay? It is absolutely, Galatians 5:13-14, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. So we're called to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you were free, but now there's boundaries around the way which you live your life.
Mm.
Well, that's not the world's definition of freedom at all. It's do what I want, when I want, whenever I want to. Do whatever you want and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So now we're going back to being servants. That's how freedom grows. So when we serve other people, our own freedom grows. How cool is that? For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life, I've written that twice, haven't I? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, the law is important because it shows that we need a Saviour. Even after we follow Jesus, you know, the Bible's a great, there's a heap of great advice and wisdom and ways that we can live our life that actually stop us from making the same mistakes over and over again. So the law is still important. See, Jesus still, like he said, he didn't come to replace the law, he came to fulfill the law. And so the Bible's still valid for us to be able to live a life which stops us from going back into slavery.
That's good.
And it's obvious that in these verses here that, you know, being a slave to Christ or being a slave to others is not the same as not being free. There's still freedom in that. In fact, serving others gives you more freedom.
Mm.
See, the thing is we're not just called to be hearers of the word, but we're called to be doers of the word. So if we have this truth, we have this freedom, we need to do more than just, oh, that's nice, okay, I'm going to take that on board and that's good. We could be the prisoner that prison breaks in the middle of the night and no one ever knows where we went. We stop appearing on Saturday nights. We stop appearing out in certain places. Or actually, once we have that freedom and once we have that truth, we can actually use that to set other people free. We can give that truth and that freedom to other people, as many people as we're willing to share it with. See, the gospel is more than just a story. It's our way of living. It's our way of living our life that actually leads other people to freedom. That's one of the results of us living a life according to the gospel. See, the thing that I've kind of realized is that freedom and redemption are linked. You can't unlink them. They're inextricably linked. freedom and grace are inextricably linked. People think that at one end of the scale is grace and at the other end of the scale is law. Mm. When actually it's two different, it's actually two different things. They're not opposites. Mm. It's just a thought. See, the problem with the problem sometimes when we think with grace, it relates to, hey, we can do whatever we want whenever we want, because basically God's going to be like, oh, okay, we'll give you a freebie. Mm-hmm. And that's true. If you repent, that's good. That's an awesome thing to do. But actually, there's still going to be consequences to the choices that you've made when you're like, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't know what this is. See, freedom and salvation are inextricably linked. The law, you've got the law of sin and death, and you've got the law of the Spirit of God. See, I don't know if you've noticed or not, I'm overweight. Thank you for your shocked faces. Thank you for that. It makes me feel good. Thank you for lying to me. That's great. I really thank you. Yeah. So for a food example, just because I can doesn't mean it's good for me. So just because I can put whatever I like into my body doesn't mean it's good for me. There's consequences to me putting whatever I like into my body, and one of those consequences is I'm in shape. Round is a shape. Okay. But it's the same with our lives as well. Depending on what we put into it, it'll actually change the way that our lives look. Okay? It might not necessarily reflect the gospel the way that it should be. It might not necessarily reflect, the idea of God's freedom the way that we think God's freedom is. The great thing is that no one ever rejects Jesus. No one ever does. The only thing that happens is they reject the portrayal of Jesus that they see on that particular day. So the great thing is that if anyone says no to Jesus, it's not actually on you. What it means is that your job is to basically be such a great reflection of Jesus that they see you and they see him. And if we start to do that, then they'll begin to say yes to Jesus. We need to model freedom, which is truly free, not bound up. Okay, so hear my heart. It's that, we don't need to follow these 600 rules, because basically, I don't know if you've met, I've met some very uptight Christians before. I'm having a very good time right now. I'm so glad that I've found freedom. And they because of their stuff, they're actually more bound up than normal people. Yes, you should become a Christian. The stick is very comfortable. Thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? Though it's when there's real freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom from your stuff. Freedom from that which hinders. It could be freedom from the masks that you wear. It could be freedom from that thing that you keep putting on. It could be freedom from whatever you cling on to when you're having your bad day. It's freedom from all of that stuff. Mm. And so that you can live freedom which is truly free.
That's good.
So, if we have freedom, what should we do with it? I love Paul because Paul is a man after my own heart. He actually gives genuine straight answers to straight questions. So I quite like that. It means that trying to pull out the meat's not as hard. But 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 22, it says Paul's use of freedom. Okay, that's the chapter that someone down the road decided that would be the label for the chapter. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 22. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So when you become a slave... It's okay, Carolyn. It's all right. As long as I'm not crashing it down, it's fine. It's okay. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself are not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. That's so, so important. That's so important. It's so important that we remember that when we think of grace. when we think of grace, we're still under Christ's law, because it's only by being under Christ's law that we have our salvation. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. So it's such a weird paradox, isn't it? We find our freedom and we come into this freedom that Christ gives us and then begin to serve people. It's unusual. It's strange. Because what we're essentially doing is becoming God's slave rather than the world's slave. But see, the thing is that we're not only a slave, we're also a son and a daughter of the living God. So we serve people, and at the same time, we have all the rights and responsibilities of being a son and a daughter of God. But see, the model that he sent, the way that his son serves, is like a slave. It's weird. See, we're in the world, but not of it. It's time to invade the dark places in our region. Jesus wants to be in the high places and in the low places. So wherever you are at the moment, whoever you relate to, Jesus wants to be there too.
That's good.
So the freedom that you've found in your life, you can give to other people as well, simply by showing them to a Saviour that wants them to be free.
That's
good. So you point to Jesus and you get out of the way. You point to Jesus, you get out of the way. Do you guys know Lecrae? Lecrae's like a Christian rapper. He's like the gangster rapper. Like he's like Little John of the Christian gangster rapping. No, he's actually a genuinely great rapper, but he gets in trouble all the time because his lyrics sound like he's swearing and stuff in them all the time. Not because of what he's saying. What he's saying is amazing, but the style in which he says it. You know, and you get your white middle class Americans who get really uptight, and Lecrae often will laugh. But he's like, well, I'm not talking to you anyway. It should be offensive to you because this is the people group that I'm called to talk to. But this is something that Lecrae said that I really liked. Did Jesus not walk with sinners, talk with sinners, ate with sinners? Are we not to engage culture like Jesus did? How can we be afraid to go into the world? If God is with us, who can be against us? See, the thing is we shouldn't let our concern for our own reputation or our concern for our own comfort or our concern for our own embarrassment or our concern for whatever it is. Like, we're free. And as a result of us being free, one of the things that Jesus calls us to do is to reach out into those places where people are bound and see if there's anyone else that wants to be free.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, where are you engaging culture at the moment? Where do you engage culture at the moment? So what area of society are you in? See, because my sphere of influence, where I engage culture, is going to be different to where you engage culture. We come together on a Sunday morning, and it's awesome. And so I'm so glad to have you here. But actually, we don't stay in a holy huddle the whole week. Thank goodness we don't stay in a holy huddle all week. If you want to come and stay in a holy huddle, we'll pray for you. We'll do all of that stuff. We love that. But actually, we're called to engage the community.
That's right.
And I'm so glad that we've come here with different personalities, different giftings, you know, all kinds of different genders. Just. Woohoo! Mother's Day's going to be awesome. I'm going to be very busy. Christianity is a counterculture. It goes against mainstream culture.
That's right.
The world's idea of freedom is different to God's idea of freedom.
That's right.
And so even though we are free, this is what we need to do. If we have freedom, what should we do with it? Even though we are free, we choose to make ourselves low. We choose to serve others. We serve to follow the model that Christ gave us. He came to be a servant. The disciples all the time kept expecting Jesus to become this conqueror. Any minute now, Jesus is going to become a conqueror. Any minute now, Jesus is going to become a conqueror. He became a servant. He became a sacrifice. And so if that's the case, we're not called to be conquerors. We're called to be more than conquerors.
That's good. That's
we're called to engage a lost and hurting world.
That's right.
We're called to engage those that aren't free and be available to them and love on them even at the times that they're unlovable.
That's right.
Because I don't know about you, but at my times where I'm furthest away from Jesus, I'm pretty ugly in a variety of ways. I was. So I'm sure some of you guys were as well, guys. Some of you were as well. That's what unsaved people look like. So if we can love the unlovable, we can begin to set them free from their own stuff, the chains which hold them down, their addictions, all of that stuff. And we have that capacity because we have a living God, a Saviour who lives in us and walks with us, so that as we pray, we can pray with power. As we speak, we can speak with authority.
That's right. That's good.
And we have a mandate to do it.
That's right. That's good.
So I've got this this quote from Leslie Newbegin, which is a really strange name. Leslie Newbegin. The church is not meant to call men and women out of the world into a safe religious enclave. Enclave is just another word for a holy huddle. But instead calls them out in order to send them back as agents of God's kingship.
That's good.
So we're called out of slavery to go back and serve those that are still enslaved. Not as a jailer, but as a servant. As one that would provide light, as one that would provide salt, as one that would provide hope to a lost and dying world. So here's my questions then. So after all of that, after that message, I'll start the same way. I'll finish the same way I started, not with the Rolling Stones song. All right, but you now know why I'm not going to be the worship leader at any stage. I might hold a microphone, but that microphone's going to be turned way down. There's no batteries in this. So here's the questions to answer. Are you free? What type of freedom do you have? Is it the freedom of the world? Do whatever you want, whenever you want, no consequences. Is it the type of freedom where you're not under, is it the type of freedom where you're not under, you're not enslaved or in bondage? The type of freedom where you're, the type of freedom where you're not under anything or affected by anything undesirable. I really love that definition, man. Isn't it so good that every time we let go of something that the world wants us to do and grab onto everything that Jesus wants us to have, we become freer? How are you using your freedom? What are you using it for? What are you using this freedom that God's given you? Are you using it to go, woohoo, I'm free, let's skip in the fields? Or are you using it to engage culture? Are you using it to engage community? Well, you just get the guitarist out. Thank you. Oh, something a bit more mellow than that, thanks. Cheers. All right. Here's the article. Here's the what we want. If you're not free today, if you don't know what freedom truly is, if you've been living in the freedom of the world but not in the freedom that God can provide for you, that having a Savior that loves you and wants to set you free, would love to give you a different destination today. I'd love to pray for you. Would love to. If you're not a Christian today. Look, do you know what? You'll come in one way and you'll go out completely different. Jesus is for you and he's for you. He's for you and he's for you. You can become part of God's family. Become part of this great journey that's called Christianity. If you find yourself continuing to go back and being caught up in the old stuff, the stuff that used to hinder you, the stuff that used to get you down, whether it's just old patterns of behavior, whether it's hopelessness, whether it's fear, whether it's just anything like that, we'd love to pray for you. See, because we have a Savior that sets the captives free. So if you're captivated by that, if it's something that takes your focus or you're bound up by it, you can come in one way and again leave completely different. The third group of people I'd love to pray for. It's good that I didn't have more than three. That's almost one each, isn't it? No, it's a The third person or group of people that I'd love to pray for is we'd love to be able to pray and prophesy of you, to commission you to be a model of freedom, which is truly free. To be that model that you could go and be salt and light to the world. We just want to recommission you to go back out into the world encouraged and built up and prayed up and all of that stuff, because we're for you, we believe Jesus is for you, and we believe that you're called to do mighty things in God.